You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
It's called the COVID relief bill, but it has almost nothing to do with COVID. This bill contains $85.5 million for assistance to Cambodia, $134 million to Burma, $1.3 billion for Egypt and the Egyptian military, which will go out and buy almost exclusively Russian military equipment. $25 million for democracy and gender programs in Pakistan. $505 million to Belize, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Panama. Congress found plenty of money for foreign countries, lobbyists, and special interests while sending the bare minimum to the American people who need it. It wasn't their fault. It was China's fault, not their fault.
December the 23rd, 2020, President Trump on the attack against this 5,600-page coronavirus stimulus bill passed by Congress Monday, and, of course, $900 billion, but you just heard some of where that money's going, and it's all attached to a $1.4 trillion omnibus bill, so they've got a total of $2.3 trillion. COVID relief, what did you hear in there about COVID relief? What did you hear in there to help restaurants? What did you hear in there to really help Americans? Oh, $600. Take your $600 and shut your mouth. That's what they're trying to tell you. So the president's saying, no, let's go for $2,000. Well, he's suddenly getting support from the left that might shock you. Pelosi, AOC, Sanders. He's doing a great tactical play on them. Because he's again saying, if you give me a clean bill, we can go to $2,000 and really help the American people. So now Pelosi and them have to say, yeah, yeah, we wanted more money in the past, but he wouldn't do it. That's because you had it all tied up with these other things he just listed. He's telling you again, if you really, really want to make something happen, I'll move forward with you. Now, yesterday I gave you an extensive piece of material from Senator Rand Paul, saying free money everywhere. Why don't we just, it doesn't grow on the trees. Why don't we just go ahead and join the socialist crowd of free money everywhere and pay for everything? We don't want to do that. But the same token, $600 out of all the money you just heard him list as to where the money's going, where's the help for America? That's the key. We're going to break it down in more detail. And yes, there is a problem with simply handing out money, especially if you don't verify if they actually need it. As Senator Rand Paul said, we're sending it out to folks. Maybe they got a home, they got investments, and you're just going to send it to them because they didn't cross a certain threshold on income tax the year before. That means other people that really could use it, they're not going to get it. Let me give you another example of something in this bill. As I said, almost 5,600 pages, so it's pretty hard to find some of the items. But some others have dug into it. A reporter at Reason found restrictions under what they call the GEAR Fund, Governor's Emergency Education Relief. And it says specifically, with all the money we're giving and everything we're trying to do and help education and so forth, as if we're really trying. But the bottom line is, it's specifically this coronavirus stimulus bill passed by Congress specifically blocks governors from using emergency education relief funds for school choice programs. School choice. Because the Democrats want your kids enslaved in whatever they give them. By the way, this whole episode of COVID has certainly revealed some things about the teachers union you're not going to want to hear. We'll deal with that a little bit later. In the meantime, Georgia Secretary of State admits, absentee voting can open up to fraud, so we're going to call for an end of that, of submitting absentee ballots without providing justification as to why they can't vote in person. And he's even now saying he's making an effort, reaching out to 8,000 individuals who moved out of Georgia but requested absentee ballots. He said qualified Georgians and only Georgians will be voting in our elections. That's critical for this senator's race coming up. But will it be enough, or will it be too late, too soon, and too late for anything? We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand, and Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Run, run, run with the railroad when their backs are turned. Run, run, run with the railroad when their backs are turned.
Run, run, run with the railroad.
Get out of their sight.
When the engine turns, then you gotta move on, and you
gotta move on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So if there was ever a time that Americans need relief, it's right now. So be glad to know there is something for you in this bill. It is entirely possible that you could get a $600 check courtesy of the U.S. Congress. That money, should you receive it, is yours to keep. Do what you wish. Buy a moderately sized television set and watch the free channels all night if you want. Rent a Tesla for a day and drive it till the power runs out. Or splurge and order two full appetizers right off the tasting menu at the French Laundry in Napa. Tip not included. Whatever. The sky's the limit here. Go crazy. $600 all for you.
That is Tucker Carlson on his program last night. Excellent little points. So make the most of the $600 you get, but that's, I'm sure that's going to solve all your problems. Listen, there are people that truly, $600 would mean a lot to them. You got it in their hands right now. They're not going to get it right now, and whatever money is coming is going to take some time. But yes, for some, that $600 is more than just incidentals and fun and frills, as Tucker was suggesting. So for some folks, it would mean a lot, especially right now. But the real thing we need to do is get the country opened up again. It is as simple as that. Look at how the economy was steaming forward before the virus from Wuhan, China, came into our country. And what kind of record unemployment numbers we were seeing. Everything was moving forward, setting new records. And it was almost as if the Democrats were trying to figure out, we couldn't get Trump on Russia collusion. We couldn't get him on quid pro quo. The impeachment fell short. I mean, well, what can we do? And somewhere in a corner, someone said, I got it. Remember War of the Worlds?
when the aliens came in? And remember something like that? Maybe we can spread that, or we can spread some virus across the nation? Now, I'm not going to tell you that Democrats are behind it. I'm not saying that, but I will tell you this. It created the perfect storm for them. It gave them the opportunity to cry out that Trump had failed. No matter if they lost lives on their watch, like in Governor Cuomo's state, where he ordered nursing homes to take the COVID patients and would not let them out. In other words, put them in a petri dish and see how many die. That's pretty much what it amounted to. And they would lay every death in the nation at the feet of Donald Trump. So they were doing that, and the economy going down. And then, of course, everybody's afraid to go out, or at least you're being told don't go out. So the absentee voting accelerated, which clearly opens up more opportunity for fraud. And actually, as I was saying in the opening monologue, there's now a new piece of support for that idea. And that came from the Georgia Secretary of State. The Georgia Secretary of State admitting and joining fellow Republicans, calling for an end to allowing all voters in the state to submit absentee ballots without providing justification as to why they can't vote in person. It's the no-excuse absentee voting. They've had it for 15 years in Georgia. It is in effect right now as we go into this current Senate race, which is so critical. But he's also admitting, finally, the Georgia Secretary of State, who is a Republican, was fighting against all this earlier, saying there's been no fraud, really, in our absentee voting. But now he's saying, yeah, we should change it in the future. I wonder why. And his office did send out 8,000 letters to individuals who had moved out of Georgia but requesting absentee ballots. And he said, we're going to be looking at that. Are they really qualified Georgians allowed to vote in our elections? Oh, now they have some concern. And then we still have people suffering. There was a Minnesota business owner who had often been on Fox News from time to time as they were asking her, give us your evaluation of how your business is doing and so forth. So now this fantastic coronavirus stimulus package providing $600 and no real money for business, they were asking her, what do you think of this? Here's her answer, Larvita McQuarr from her business Havens Garden in Minnesota.
I have people, friends, who are losing everything, losing their homes, you know, losing their businesses, and they're giving all of this money away to other countries, and I'm not really sure what $600 is going to do for people, especially small businesses, when some of our mortgages are like $25,000 a month. So I don't really understand what this is supposed to do. I don't understand how this is going to help small businesses. I thought it was supposed to be for small businesses and for the American people. I don't know about you, but I don't know what $600 is going to really do for a family of four. I have four daughters. So I'm just appalled.
Appalled. Most of us are. And, of course, Tucker Carlson having a little fun and tongue-in-cheek and obviously not meant to mock anyone who relies on that kind of $600, but the fact that what's it really going to accomplish overall for the nation? We have had a massive shutdown of our schoolings, of course, our schools, which have put additional pressure upon parents as they try to decide, what am I going to do if my job is open and I can go to it? How am I going to get care for my child while I'm working the job? And in the end, am I really earning no money after I pay for someone to sit the child? There's a California doctor who's been removed from his post as a trauma medical director at John Muir Health. He wrote a letter to health officials in Contra Costa County, California, that questioned the effectiveness of that county's lockdown measures, which are basically put in place by the governor. And he stated, all the data I'm aware of, looking at children and the virus, shows that it's safe to reopen schools. There are many other states now that have months of track records showing it is safe for kids to go back to school. And the state of California and the county is not making that possible. two other doctors joined him on that, and they said the science is clear. The science, the science, the science, which we're always told by the left we should listen to when it comes to global warming. The science is clear that more lockdowns lead to much more non-COVID morbidity and mortality. We already know the depression is going on, not only with kids, but adults and businesses. It's a vicious cycle. You heard the almost plaintive cry of that Minnesota businesswoman. What good is this going to do us? Now, I like what some New York City restaurants are considering. They have started a move that when they can open, when they do open, they've got something, as they call, a taste of their own medicine for Governor Cuomo and Mayor Bill de Blasio. New York State has admitted less than 2% of cases can be traced to indoor dining. Now, that's just positive cases. I'm not talking about a death count. Less than 2% of positive cases can be traced to indoor dining, compared to 70% traced to households and small gatherings. Again, that's New York State. So some of them are coming up with this. Here's what they're putting out. If we can't feed our families, we certainly won't feed yours. And said, these people need to survive. They spend thousands of dollars doing what they need to do. They're just not going to make it. It's not about politics at this point. Whether you're left or right, conservative or Democrat, it's economic Darwinism at its point, and it's survival of the fittest. And basically saying, when this is all over, Cuomo, de Blasio, you're not going to be welcome here. We're not going to feed you. So now we've got this big coronavirus stimulus package that's overloaded, as I said yesterday, not just with pork, but the entire pig sty to benefit everyone but Americans. So Trump has called it out and said, what we need to do, you really want to help Americans? Cut all that money to those other foreign nations, deal with us, take that money and raise the payment of $2,000 to Americans. Now, let's go back briefly on the history of how we got to this point. President Trump.
Throughout the summer, Democrats cruelly blocked COVID relief legislation in an effort to advance their extreme left-wing agenda and influence the election. Then, a few months ago, Congress started negotiations on a new package to get urgently needed help to the American people. It's taken forever. However, the bill they are now planning to send back to my desk is much different than anticipated. It really is a disgrace.
It is a disgrace. And this money, as you heard him say, could have been released back in the summer. But the Democrats did not want anything to happen good on Trump's watch, because they wanted you to suffer and blame him. Well, now, as Trump is making a new offer, finding more money for Americans, suddenly you're hearing some applause. Again, President Trump.
I am asking Congress to amend this bill and increase the ridiculously low $600 to $2,000 or $4,000 for a couple. I'm also asking Congress to immediately get rid of the wasteful and unnecessary items from this legislation and to send me a suitable bill, or else the next administration will have to deliver a COVID relief package, and maybe that administration will be me, and we will get it done.
I love that. And maybe that administration will be me. Yes, the fight continues over the election results as they stand. Now, I said he's getting support suddenly from folks that you're thinking, did they get too much rum in the eggnog? Pelosi, AOC, Bernie Sanders say, hey, we're all in that. We're all for that. Let's do that 2,000. But, of course, they want to keep all their pork in there as well. That's the problem. But AOC saying, yes, let's do it. We're ready to go. Glad to see the president's willing to support our legislation. Yeah, they were wanting $2,000 checks previously, which was off the wall because they still want to put their big package with it. It still is, if that
stays the same. Sanders saying the same thing. It's great. He said, I first introduced a bill to provide $2,000 direct payment 7 months ago. But the president and your Republican friends stopped it. Well, that was an entirely different look at that point. Because, again, they just wanted to throw it out there and also include all this pork. Missouri Senator Hawley, Republican, been a vocal support for a long time for this kind of thing, at getting more money to the individuals, more financial assistance for them. And so he is also agreeing with the president. But he also says we need to get away from this foreign buyout. Well, there is some opposition, and we'll take a break when we come back. You'll get to hear from one of them, because this one says that the president's call to amend the COVID-19 relief bill, to amend it, in other words, get more money to Americans and less money to all your pork projects, is, quote, an attack on every American. Now, who would say if we're going to give $2,000 to Americans, it's an attack on every American? This is great. I told you, Trump's got a great tactic. He's dividing, once again, the Democrat Party, and they're feuding and fighting among themselves. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is an attack on every American. People who are struggling to get by right now, out of work, whose unemployment, the unemployment is going to basically end the day after Christmas if this doesn't pass. And he knows very well we're reaching the end here with the unemployment, with our small businesses can't take it anymore. One Yelp study early in the year showed we were having 800 small businesses close a day. He is literally trying to burn this country down on his way out, as I said at the beginning. And all we can do is push and make it very clear as we go into these Senate races in Georgia, Rachel, which party has people's back and which party is in the White House.
So says Minnesota Democrat Senator Amy Klobuchar on MSNBC, The Rachel Maddow Show. I kind of like her closing. This should remind everyone who has America's back and who's in the White House. Well, Trump's in the White House now. I like that. And she said, who has America's back? I don't see the Democrats having America's back. Now, what she is complaining about, as I said earlier, Trump says, all right, let's amend this COVID-19 relief bill. $600 means nothing to Americans. Get $2,000 in their hands. And that means cut up all this pork that you got in this bill. Slash it. Get it out. Get money into the hands of the American people, not foreign countries. And this senator, Klobuchar, dare say the fact that you want to put $2,000 in the hands of Americans is, quote, an attack on every American? Told you, they want you to suffer. Every morning I get my morning pundit accountability right from the New York Times. It's a great way to open my day and just slap me in the face. Wake up, Larry. And once again today, it starts off, Americans under the age of 40 voted relatively low rates. They also lean left politically. The same is true of Latinos and Asian Americans. Now, this writer, David Linhart, goes on and talking about, you know, there are times these pundits, we've been wrong. We have to go back and reevaluate. He said, I feel bad about that. I underestimated Biden. I should have done better. He said, but also in 2020, turnout soared, yet Democrats did worse than expected. High voter turnout was supposed to usher in a Democrat sweep. What happened? Well, because, yes, they defeated Trump,
but failed to retake the Senate for now and lost ground in the House and state legislatures. He said, how could this be? Big Democratic groups, demographic groups, I should say, with low voter turnout, millennials, Latinos, Asian Americans, lean left. And he adds, because the infrequent voters in these groups are less liberal than the frequent voters. And quotes a political scientist at Stony Brook saying, Latino non-voters seem to have a higher opinion of Trump than Latino voters. In other words, he goes on to say, so those more likely to be working class, not have college degrees, don't vote generally, they're more reliable voters. But when they do, they're less trusting of institutions and elites. And then he sums this up, which I want it to just be right in their face. He said, the fact that turnout surged this year and Democrats did not do as well as expected, another example, the Democrats' struggles with the working class voters, not just working class whites. Whether Democrats can figure out how to do better may be the biggest looming question about American politics. I'll give you the answer right now. No, they're not going to figure it out because they think they know. They know. And Joe Biden says, bring more in. Open up the borders. Please stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Drinking dark whiskey, telling white lies. One leads to another on a Saturday night. And don't you cross your heart unless you hold the dime. Drinking dark whiskey, telling white lies.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This assault happened on Donald Trump's watch when he wasn't watching. It still has to defend American interests for the next 4 weeks. But rest assured that even if he does not take it seriously, I will.
So says Joe Biden, says when I get in the White House, I will take all this stuff seriously. Trump didn't. And this massive Russian hacking was on his watch. And I am more concerned about our national security than Donald Trump. That's what he's saying in between the lines. I'm going to come back to that point in just a moment, but let's refresh quickly the hacking. Pompeo has said it's Russia. Other members of the government have said it's Russia. Trump has indicated it could be China. And, of course, when he says that, you got the opposing side saying, see, once again, he's trying to protect Russia. He just complained, as you heard a moment ago, about some of this money in the coronavirus relief pact going to Egypt. For weapons, he said they'll be buying them direct from Russia. In other words, why would he speak against doing something like that for Russia if he's for Russia? But the bottom line is, what did the hacking accomplish? What they're considering, basically, that it probably came through a Texas-based company, SolarWinds Corp., used by many government agencies and Fortune 500 companies in managing information technology. Apparently, the hackers got a backdoor into the popular Orion software, and over time, infected software onto other clients of SolarWinds. Then they could get into their systems. And by that, we're talking about many 18,000 of its customers, and not just private enterprise, but government agencies, federal departments of state, treasury, homeland security, commerce, energy, and at least three states were using the same system. So, yeah, there's a big deal here. We need to find out what's behind it, who's behind it, and what's the damage. It may be a long time before we really know the damage. But when I hear Biden standing up and say, this happened on Trump's watch, and I'll make sure we're all protecting this country, he is admitting, Joe Biden's admitting that 2 million migrants might arrive at our nation's borders if they don't properly prepare to rewrite border and asylum rules. He said we need to have a new family reunification justification. So we already started discussing this with the president of Mexico and our friends in Latin America. The timeline is to do it so we can, in fact, make it better, not worse.
He said the last thing we need to say is we're going to stop immediately access to asylum the way it's been run now and end up with 2 million on our border. It's a matter of setting up guardrails so we can move in the direction. I will accomplish what I said I will do, a much humane policy based on family unification. Do you hear anything in there about keeping illegals from coming across the border? No. He's admitting what they're going to be seeing is maybe 2 million push at our border, and all we're going to do is sit around and talk about, well, how to keep them all together. These pro-migration policies are clearly going to invite more to come across. During Obama's relaxed rules, something like 3 million Central American, not even Mexico, arrived between 2009 and 2019. And that came to an end when Trump put in 2019 reforms. Now, Biden's in the process of changing it all. But he says it's going to take maybe 6 months to implement. And we might have 2 million at our border waiting to come across. He's not saying we're not going to let them in. We're just going to take some time and reprocess and try to keep all the families together. This means open the door. No border. Let them come across. There are those that have said, if this is going to be the policy, it's going to be a major disaster. And it's going to be a disaster not just for the nation, but for Biden, which on one hand I could care less about. But I look at our nation. Mark Krikorian, the director of the Center for Asylum, said that Biden's aides are not stupid. They understand their pro-migration goals are unpopular with the public, so they're trying to manage expectations, both of voters and potential migrants, so that two things happen. One, changes are introduced slowly, not all at once, and they can do that to hide the consequences. So the Biden people can say, look, we're not crazy on immigration. But they belie themselves. Krikorian says tens of millions of migrants will make their own decision. They will see that, look, if this is the way it's going to be done, we'll sell the farm, whatever we have here, get rid of all of our money, pack it all together, and we'll be there at the border. So they will begin to queue up and be ready to come across the border on Inauguration Day or days after that. Because Biden and all the Democrats push sanctuary state and protection and no need for a border. Biden's already looking to dismantle that legal wall at the U.S.-Mexico border that Trump has constructed. He said, we plan on taking down the legal wall. That is the remain in Mexico policy. Not the physical wall, but that will also be in jeopardy. The idea is that Trump's attitude was, you remain in Mexico while we sort out if you get true asylum. And Biden wants to end those agreements we have with Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, which means to the illegals and migrants and true asylum seekers, hey, there will be no border. And just last week, Customs and Border Protection Chief Mark Morgan said, Biden is sending a message to the world's migrants, we have open borders. Can you imagine the cost that's going to create for this country? But again, Biden said, I've been discussing issues like this with the Mexican president and our friends in Latin America. He said, the last thing we need is to say we're going to stop immediately. In other words, throw away all the Trump laws immediately. He said, to stop immediately the access to asylum, the way it's being run now, and then end up with 2 million on our border. In other words, he's saying, if we put a stop to the Trump thing and his legal wall, they're going to show up at our border. What does he think is going to happen when they take it away? Have they really not looked that far down? I think they have, but they don't really care. Because with that comes
votes. In fact, in the next hour, I'll get into a little bit more on that issue. No, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to do it right now for you because it's just perfect. There has been a report that so many people are fleeing California that they're afraid they might lose a House seat, an Electoral College vote. That Governor Newsom's policy is simply driving too many out. All the taxes, the lockdowns, and so forth are running out of the state. Going to Arizona, Texas, other low-tax states. California currently has 53 representatives in the House of Congress. 53. No other state has as many. Now, the census underway now might reapportion that and might take away a seat. Could end up adding one once we see the final numbers. But they currently have 53. The next state with the closest representatives would be Texas with 36. New York and Florida each had 27. So as some folks are now beginning to question, will we see folks flee California so much that they end up losing a House seat? I don't think so. Because if Biden is going to open the borders like this, there will be more coming across. And while they be based on the last census, they will be there for the next one. A member of the Public Policy Institute of California said this is a real sea change in California, which used to be the state of pretty robust population growth. He's talking about all those who are leaving, the exodus. He said it hasn't been for some time now, but it's now gotten to the point where the state is essentially not growing population-wise at all. So if they end up losing a seat and even an Electoral College vote this time around, they already have in place how we'll replace all of those who are fleeing. If they do that, I mean, again, we're going to have the folks who are living in California and trying to do the best they can overwhelmed. And all their services sucked up by others coming in that are not citizens, and you're told to accept it, and in fact, we'll make more money available for them than you. Next hour, we're going to have James Herson join us. I want to hear some of his thoughts on what's happening in California. I also want to share something with you from someone you'll recognize that said, I've been asked why I'm not recognizing Joe Biden's victory. Stand by, please.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Let me take a moment to share something with you that my boots on the ground, Andrew in Chicago and researcher, put in front of me. I had overlooked this. It's a piece out of the Washington Examiner that said 2020 exposed the teachers' unions for the frauds they are. That's the title of this piece, as an opinion piece, editorial piece in the Washington Examiner. And it talked about the pandemic has brought too many failures of leadership to count. Chief among them, remote learning, teachers' unions continued lobbying against reopening schools. When the virus was still a novel concept and schools shut down in response, we understood why. There was too much we did not know about COVID-19. And the risk of endangering students and teachers was too great. As time went on, however, the science became overwhelmingly clear. COVID-19 posed little risk to children. School's not a major source of transmission. And it also became clear, glaringly obvious, that unions insisting on long-term school closures were not concerned
about the students' health or teacher safety as much as they wanted to gain from the shutdown. Let me detract from the statement here a moment. Once again, trying to use every crisis available. As Ron Emanuel said, never let a good crisis go to waste, right? Here he goes back in this article, pointing out, column I should say, in L.A., one of the largest teachers' unions released a reopening proposal in July that included a list of demands. Defund the L.A. Police Department. What has that got to do with COVID and teaching kids? Implement Medicare for all. What does that have to do? Increase taxes on the wealthy. Place a moratorium on charter schools. No, they were protecting their own turf. At the same time, demanding reference going back safely to school, you've got to defund the police department. New York City schools facing the same thing. But it points out union teachers sabotaged that, demanding that de Blasio close the schools again because the cases in the city went above a certain threshold. Never mind that the schools themselves were nowhere near that threshold. New York teachers simply wanted to work from home. They didn't want to go in to work. I know many teachers, and I know many of them are hardworking, and they're to be applauded. They take money out of their own pockets sometimes to help provide for their students and supplies they don't get. And we do need to reassess how we help and treat teachers and education in general. But there are also some of them out there that are just sucking it up and not doing anything. So Newt Gingrich wrote a piece for the Washington Times. He said, a smart friend of mine who's a moderate liberal asked why I won't recognize Joe Biden's victory. He said the friend made the case. Biden got more votes. Historically, we recognize the person with the most votes. My friend asked, why is 2020 different? He said, it took a while to realize it. My anger and fear were not narrowly focused on votes. My unwillingness to relax and accept that the election grew out of a level of outrage and alienation unlike anything I'd experienced in more than 60 years in public affairs. And he points out some clear examples that we all saw happen. He said, now people in my world are told it is time to stop resisting, cooperate with the new president. But remember, the Democrats wanted to cooperate with Mr. Trump so much, they began talking about his impeachment before he even took office. The Washington Post ran a story on Democrat impeachment plots the day of the inauguration. And in fact, nearly 70 Democratic lawmakers boycotted his inauguration. A massive left-wing demonstration staged in Washington the day after, where Madonna announced she dreamed of blowing up the White House and got widespread applause. These same forces want me now to cooperate with their new president? He said, so I'm not reacting to the vote so much as the whole election environment. I think that's where a lot of us are at this point. Whether or not there can be enough proof to change the election, and there are still plots underway in the sense of state legislators and slates of electors pledged to go to Trump, I don't think it's going to happen, but the same token, I guess the thing that does, I have to agree with Newt Gingrich, the thing that kind of flies in the face of all of it is that we're being told, just accept it. We accepted it, and I have to say, no, you did not. You did not accept it. You've been fighting it every step of the way. You started it before he even took office, which we just pointed out in that same article again. And on the day of the inauguration, the Washington Post runs a story on Democrat impeachment plots. All of them insist that on the left that we have to accept it. It's just the way it is. And if it were in our mind free and there were not so many questions about some of this voting and how it went down, the bottom line is, on Inauguration Day, if Biden takes the oath, he is our president. I'm not going to resist it at that point, but I tell you this, I will do everything I can to make sure we're all on the same page so that in 2 years from then there will be so much buyer remorse they'll start looking a way to change Congress completely, maybe get hold of the House again, and then 2 years after that,
flip it again. And then we'll see who's all about cooperating. You don't want to miss the next hour. James Hurston will join us. Please stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.